Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Courtney Turp with Ruby Self Review. I'm actually going live an hour early, just because I'm like moving so quickly. It's the holidays, and I got caught up in some things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have to do it early because I'm just too busy, which is a good thing and a bad thing all in the same. So anyway, excuse me. I've been having to clear my throat all day. I don't know what the deal is. So tonight's episode, we're actually going to be focusing on the writers. And what I mean by that is this seems to be a really hot topic with my listeners and people that follow me, and I've kind of made a little bit of noise about it and some waves. And so I just want to address some things that are important to me and that I think are important to you guys as well. If you disagree, it's cool too. No big deal. And I always like to say that because, you know, I'm a strong personality and a lot of people will just completely misconstrue what I mean. And all I mean is everything that comes out of me is a lot of it is you guys, you know, your expression to me about how you feel about the direction of the shows and kind of just reverberating off of that. So the one thing I want to discuss first and foremost is that I've always been very critical of the writers at Days. I think that this is probably going to be the touchiest subject just because of the fact that it's been a really negative experience for a lot of us. I know that people are saying, oh my gosh, you know, Days is the best it's ever been. I just don't agree with that. I think that the reason why that people feel that way is because the storylines are either shocking or outrageous or, you know, there have been really big returns and they don't get past the fact that these big returns occur. They can't get past the fact that the story is just kind of crappy. They're just happy to see their person back. You know, Eileen Davidson was like this huge return. And of course, people like Susan, so they're just excited about the fact that she's going to have this story. But I just thought it was weak. And I was just really disappointed. I mean, I'm not saying that everything on Days sucks right now, because it doesn't. I think there's some really good stuff. But as I've said before, I mean, it'd be a little bit extreme if everything Ron did suck, you know. But I don't think that he is embodying the characters like he should. I don't think he knows them at all. And I see that a lot in the comments from, you know, the fans, especially around Sammy. You know, Sammy's erratic and crazy and does really stupid, irrational things, but I'm sorry, her behavior this last visit was awful. You know, yeah, she nails it because Allie's amazing. She's an amazing actress, and she's going to take what she's given, and she's going to make some gold out of it, and I already know that, but that doesn't make me hate the story any less. I think that what she did to Will, putting him through that experience, was ridiculous and selfish and stupid. And I don't even see how it was self-serving. I don't really see what benefited, you know, from it. I don't really get it. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, what in the hell is she solving by doing this to him? It didn't do anything. He's like, if anything, I just remember what a piece of crap you are, you know? And I guess my issue is that when Ron, you know, the way he presents himself, I'm just observing and I'm analyzing a little bit. He just comes off a little kind of cocky. He comes off like, I cannot believe that this gold mine is all mine. And I'm like, dude, you're delusional. It's not that great. You know, it's not. And just the arrogance he has, I bet people would agree when I say that he comes off a lot like Ken does, really aggressive, really cocky, really over the top, and then he claims these big bombs are going to take place, and then it just fizzles. It's just nothing, you know? And I think the biggest criticism that I've seen has been, you know, the fact that Sierra is being written to think that Rafe has this father figure shadow over her, and that's just an insult, period. And nobody knows where it came from. And then you have, of course, Rafe being Rafe. I mean, he's always going to be written to be a douchebag. But, I mean, he is completely stupid and arrogant and ridiculous. And I just can't stand how he treats Hope. I can't stand the fact that we're in 2017 and this crap is still going on. I don't know why we're letting these sorts of characters be leads. I mean, I'm sorry, it's sexism at its finest, and I'm not getting political, but he absolutely is a sexist. He's a chauvinist, and he's a prick. And I don't understand why. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know, I'm just going to say it this way. It pays to be friends outside of work. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about it. And people are going to, how do you know that? Okay, ask anybody. This is common knowledge. And I'm sorry. It's just the fact there are people on all the shows that can just be Betty with a producer and they can get whatever they want. And this isn't a personal attack on him. It's just the fact that this is where this comes in about the writers. I think that Ken will always have an agenda and it will always be the opposite of what the fans want as a majority. And he wants his best buddy and his best old pal to be front and center, and that's why Save happened, and the hookup was ridiculous and pointless and stupid. It served no purpose. It was gross. And then you have Sammy going, I don't regret it. What? That's your aunt's ex-fiance 5 minutes ago, but let's also focus on the fact that he's bouncing between family members. What kind of writing is this? It's absolutely driven by a biased agenda. It is absolutely biased. And if you're going to be a writer of a show, you need to listen to the fans, period. The fans don't want Safe, period. Now, there are people that do. I've seen a few of you that are extremely passionate about Safe and about Rope and all that crap, and that's fine too for that. You don't see me getting on your threads and going, you're full of crap, and you know, everything you like sucks. Like, I'm never going to do that to you because that's not right. But the majority don't want it. If you were going to write Sammy to have a one-night stand with somebody, it should have been Lucas. He's really broken and torn and going through all these things, and Sammy's his savior. That would have been the perfect situation. But no. The stupid douche nugget had to be at the center of it all. He's always at the center of it all. I don't understand why this stupid character is at the center of it all. Yes, I do. It's Ken Corday. I can't stand it. It's the Rafe and Hope show. Actually, it's the Rafe show. So whenever you look at all of these things, it just, especially when you're on a closer inside, whenever you've been doing it a while, even whether you're a fan, whether you do reviews, whether you have inside scoops, whether you're in the damn studio on a daily basis, it doesn't matter. Any normal, red-blooded human being is going to be able to see that there's bias agenda being written on the screen. And I can't stand that. And the last thing I ever wanted was to sit there and go, God, Sammy, get out of town. I love you, but I just need you to leave. I don't even want to look at you. That's how I felt. That's how bad it was getting. And I don't ever get like that. I was like, it's got to go. She got to go. Bye. And, you know, of course, there's going to be all this drama as Soap Opera Digest put on the front cover. I give a shit. Sorry for the language. But, geez, man. And then you move on to things like Young and the Restless. And it's just, Mal has a gold mine. And the bias there is not so much bias with Mal. And I always say, and what I've been saying is, what is in it for them? You know, you have, and especially with Young and the Restless, you have the opportunity to tackle some pretty serious stuff. And you have, you know, things for the LGBTs. You have things for the African-American community. You have a situation with people that are dealing with, you know, neurological issues, you know, the Alzheimer's and things like that. I mean, you have the ability to address real-world issues, and you're not doing it. What are you afraid of? Thing is that I sit there and I read some of their interviews, especially when Mal said, well, you know, you only need to start worrying whenever they stop caring. God, I just want to cuss you out. Are you kidding me? That's what you say? as long as you're not tuning out, I don't care how you feel. Ridiculous. It's so stupid. And all you're doing is letting the viewers know that you're crapping on them. You know? What is that? You have this awesome potential in Mariah and Tessa, and you're just screwing it. And then you have Sharon and Scott, who could have had this great relationship, and it's always about getting it in somewhere else. Why? What did it solve? You're breaking them up. You're hurting a legacy character for two people that they barely got the soles on their shoes, barely have any marks on them from walking through that set, that studio. Kidding me. And then, you know, we're back with Hillary and Devon. When are you going to buck up and reunite them? And then when you read the interview, people are like, oh, well, I mean, he said, you're really going to buy that? I don't, not at this point. I don't buy anything. I want to. I don't want to have a lack of faith, you guys. But I just don't feel like these writers respect us like they should. They have a job to do, and I don't think that they're fulfilling it. I don't even watch General Hospital, and I've never seen an angrier fan base. I've just not. People are just like, screw this. I am not even playing this. You know, and when you look at the ratings, even though that Days has gained viewers, they're still in last. You know, you're just like, well. And see, Bold and the Beautiful, I love Bold and the Beautiful. I know some, and I know some people really are off on it right now, and I'm getting to that point. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, if I hear Liam and Steffi one more time, I'll lose my mind. Like, the denial that Liam is in, how blind he is, how Steffi's acting like a lunatic, how, you know, Brooke is bouncing back and forth and doing her creepy little grin at people. And I'm just like, can you just chill and decide if you're going to screw around with Thorne or if you're going to marry Ridge? Like, stop smirking at them and decide. Stop sending mixed signals and decide. It just breaks my heart that we have all of this potential right in the palm of our hands and we're doing nothing with it. And I'm most passionate about the fact that about Young and the Restless right now, just because I think they're afraid. I don't think that they want to address these things. I don't think that they want to put this on the forefront. I don't. I think that they're dragging it out not only to torment, but also because they're afraid of the reaction. We're living in a really political world where there's a lot of hate and a lot of judgment. And, you know, on a personal level, I'm dealing with a lot of issues myself with, you know, having these family members that we just don't see eye to eye, and it divides us. You know, I'm a very accepting, I lean more towards liberal. I mean, obviously that's kind of obvious with me, but, you know, I'm a very accepting person. Love the gay community. I love people of all descent. I love to learn new things and see the potential just slipping through the door. You know, just every time the door opens, it just a little bit goes out the door. It disappoints me. And I don't want the world we're living in, especially the country that we're living in, those of us in the United States, I have a lot of Canadian listeners, but the fact of the matter is that we cannot shy away from the fact that these issues need to be addressed, whether it be in real life, everyday life, whether it be in a soap opera. And that's something else that I said on Twitter. I said, you know, sexism is not just relevant to real life. It's not just pertinent to real life. It's absolutely real in everything that we do. Our novels, our movies, our television shows, primetime and daytime. You know, Days of Our Lives did it. Days of Our Lives, you know, opened up a gay storyline, but there's nothing but, of course, cheating and lying and bullshit, you know. And I get that there's only so many formulas that you can go with, but why does it have to be like that? Why does it have to be that way? Why do we have to character assassinate everyone? I don't understand. And I just hope and pray that, you know, through the new year that we're going to see some better character development, better story development. And I'm sorry, but I'll say it and I'll be the brutal one to say it. If you can't, you know, get it together and if you can't provide better for the fans, they're eventually going to fall off and they're going to stop watching. And these shows are either going to get canceled or the writers are going to continue to get fired and the people are going to get shuffled out. And I'm at that point now with Ron that I'm like, you can just go. you can just go. Because I just don't. I don't see it getting much better. But I'm willing to give it a shot into the new year. But, I mean, that's just kind of where I sit. You know, is it for them? Is it for us? Who's it for? And I think overall it's for them. I don't think it's for us. I don't think that they go, oh, you just wait. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of that phrase. You just wait. You won't believe what's coming. Okay, sure. I can't wait. I'm shaking in my space boots. I just can't wait to see what you have in store for me. No, absolutely not. I think that Ron is just like Ken. He just puts on a little front. And he pretends that something amazing is on its way. And then Ken has to do interviews where he says, well, this is why you need to be tuning in today. We're like, shut up. I've listened to you run your mouth for years. You know, and I've even been criticized. Courtney, you're so disrespectful to Ken. Well, he's disrespectful to me. He's disrespectful to you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about us as viewers. He doesn't care. And I'm not ever going to pretend that he cares. If you don't like it, then bye-bye. Sorry that you're in denial and I'm not. These stories tackle them with the intent of targeting the majority of your audience, the people that say, take me here. That's why the soaps in the 80s were so good. That's why they were so good, was because you had 33 million people. 33 million, I'm going to say it again. 33 million people tuned in to Luke and Laura's wedding on General Hospital. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine us as viewers coming together in that large amount of a quantity to celebrate something? It's possible. They can't get their shit together. Not long enough. If we went back and said, hey, your numbers are going to look like this, and it was like 2.4, 2.1, they'd go, what? You know, but also people also tell me, they're like, well, that's the 80s. You know, we live in a different era. Yeah, I know, a desensitized, crappy era. Yes, I know. But we can still have fun, and this can still be something that we live for every day. But how can you whenever you know it's going to be crap? And it's just, I sound so negative, but I'm talking, and that's the thing, is that there's some stories I absolutely love on these soaps. I love Bold and Beautiful. And I can't wait to see what unravels with Steffi and Bill and Liam, and especially with Hope coming back in town. I'm so excited about that. And, you know, with Young and the Restless, it's like, I know Tariah's coming, but when? When? I can't wait for Sharon to find out that Scott cheated on her and she can kick his ass to the curb. You know, there are some really good stories on. I can't wait to see Vivian Alamein come back. I can't wait to see who Tyler Christopher is going to be. I can't wait. But don't do me wrong. And you're gonna. And they go, oh, well, you can't, not all the fans can be happy. I'm sorry, but the majority of the fans aren't happy. So what are we solving here, pal? So either way, that's how I feel. I think I've been pretty open about how I feel, you know, anyway. So, yeah. So then we're going to be doing, let me see. What are the dates? Okay, so Christmas Eve is going to be next Sunday. Okay. Well, because of the fact that it's Christmas Eve, I'm not going to be doing a show. I'm going to skip that weekend because I don't even know. I might be too drunk. I don't know. But the following weekend, absolutely, we'll be there. It'll be a New Year thing. Oh, crap. Maybe not. This might be my last show for the year. Oh, crap. I'm just now realizing this. Holidays always get in my way. But you know what? I love you guys so much, and you've all been so great. And I know that I say this every show, but it's just so important that I say it. Your support of me and all you guys literally make me feel so good about myself. Whenever you say, "Well, you're funny, and thank you for making me laugh," or you know, "Thank you for for standing up for me," and because I'm not brave enough to. Anytime. And like I said, we live in a pretty dark place a lot of the time. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. And so I'm going to always try to do my best. And I'm so excited about the new year, because that means I get to meet a lot of you. And I'm excited about getting to travel and get with you guys and coming to Canada. And it's just going to be great. And then launching our merch line. We're aiming for, around the first few weeks of the year to really set out, the proofs of everything. And I've been so blessed to have such an awesome creative team where all of that is concerned. And we're getting a lot of really good positive feedback. And I'm just so proud of everything that we've built. And I wouldn't be able to build it if it wasn't for you. So even though that sometimes I come off a little harsh for Ken and Ron and Mal and Greg Mang and who else can I name that make me really, really mad, it's kind of like whenever you get a new job. It's like either you get along with everybody in the office except your boss or vice versa. Your boss is really cool, but the people you work next to suck. I've done a lot of things. Fun fact about me. Besides, obviously doing radio and being in entertainment, I used to actually be in retail. I was a retail manager. I worked for some pretty cool companies over the last a few years of, my career. I mean, I was in retail for a while, but I was always that strong-willed, stubborn person who would always battle the other managers. I'd be like, "No, that's not how we do this," And then I go into where I'm at now, in media and marketing and things like that. So being in that sort of an environment, I'm like, listen, and now it's people that work next to me that sometimes are kind of cankerous and obnoxious. And my boss is like, rock on, keep on keeping on. Like, you know what you're doing. And so I just think that that's kind of that goes with it, especially even being in radio. I've worked with some amazing people. I've had a very, very fulfilling career. I've also dealt with some real dickheads. So, how do you win? You don't. You got to take the punches and just roll with it, And I've worked with some, like I said, some really awesome people, and I've co-hosted and worked with and collaborated with some really talented individuals. And it's always been a blessing to continue to have a following like I do, and for people not to be like, "Courtney, you're just too hard on them." Well, I'm not here to, butter their biscuit. I'm not here to make them feel better. If they screw you over, they're screwing me over. Because, I kind of feel like a mama. And, that was weird. It's like the majority of my listeners are older than me. But they'll just be like, "Well, Courtney, I just feel like you can take care of it." I'm like, "You're damn right I can. I'll take the hit for you." You guys have just all been so sweet. And I just love your encouraging messages every day. And I just love you. So if you haven't followed us on Twitter yet, shame on you, because I just want to connect with you guys so awesomely. So I need you to get on Twitter and follow me at 3B Soap Reviews, and follow me on Instagram at CTreezyBaby, and I'm going to follow you back. But let me know that you follow me on Instagram. I'm going to say the same speech. Let me know who you are. Like, tweet me something. Send me a telegraph. Say, "Courtney, I followed you on Instagram." So anyway, won't see you next weekend. I'll debate on doing a New Year's show. That would be really cool. We could do a year in review. Maybe we'll do that. And I also have to pull the next name, the next winner for this month, which the month of December is Days of Our Lives. And then the last one that we're doing is for the month of January, and that's Young and the Restless. So for our giveaway, in order for you to be considered, at this point we're going to start doing Twitter posts. And you have to retweet it, like it, or say done, or comment, or something to let me know that you are right there, fair and square. I want to be considered, because I'm not just going to pick somebody who I never communicate with. Like, hello, why would I do that? So anyway, that's what you need to do. But anyway, I'll see you guys around the new year, and we'll have our last show of 2017. I love you guys. Bye.